And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Welcome in, listeners, to RBLR Bucks. First and foremost, shout out to every single one of y'all tuning in with us tonight, whether you're listening on your drive home or at the gym or kicking back after work or just surviving this brutal NFL offseason one day at a time. We appreciate you rocking with us here at RBLR Bucks. And look, we know it's the offseason. There might not be football on the field right now, but don't get it twisted. There's always something cooking in Tampa Bay, whether it's roster moves, some training camp buzz, draft talk, breakout candidates, depth chart battles, all that Buccaneers chaos. But also, you know, just talking around the league, what's going around, and especially now more than ever during this offseason, reflecting on, you know, what else has been going around. But hey, this is what we do, okay? We are going to be here talking all things Tampa Bay football, NFL football, every single step of the way. And trust us, Bucks fans, we're going to get through this offseason together. But listen, this show is not just about us talking at y'all. No, we want to hear from you. So please, again, drop your comments, your hot takes, your questions, your frustrations, your bold predictions. Whatever's on your mind, if you're passionate about Buccaneers football, this is the place for it. We're all ears, we're all eyes, and we're building this thing together as one massive Tampa Bay football family. Seriously, so before we get rolling tonight, I want to show some love to the rest of the RBLR crew holding it down across the board. They don't believe in the offseason, all right? They're out here covering all of our beloved Tampa Bay sports teams nonstop, grinding day in, day out. So shout out to the entire squad over at RBLR Sports, you know, as I may say, doing the Lord's work. So, and you already know this is never a one-man show. Every great football team needs a dangerous duo under the lights. And tonight, I'm bringing in a man who comes off the top rope with takes hotter than a Tampa Bay training camp in August. All right, he is the man who, let's say, reads defenses better than a veteran quarterback at the line of scrimmage. He is the human blitz package himself, Mr. Carter Brantley. How are you, my friend?
Oh, man, I'm doing well. Doing much better after that intro, I'll tell you. Yeah, man, I'm excited to talk some Bucks football. Yeah, you were saying about that heat, man. It is not – I don't know about how it's going up there and near the Palm Harbor area, but, man, it hasn't really rained here all that much over the past, like, month, 2 months.
Oh, really? Oh, interesting you say that. No, it's been raining and cloudy over here, actually.
Oh, man, we could really use it. It's – yeah, we've got like this pond in the middle of our neighborhood, and it is drying up. I'll tell you what. It's been a fun time. Not a whole lot of Bucks related news necessarily, but we're still talking draft stuff because, man, the draft was big. It was important. There was a lot that went on, and so today we're going to be talking about our division rival draft grades, because the Bucks have some division rivals that had some drafts too. They made some good moves, some bad moves, some in the middle, and we're going to be talking about each team's draft class. We'll give it a grade. We'll talk about our favorite pick, our least favorite pick, then at the end, I'm going to give Mr. Musab Tariq a chance to talk a little bit more about the Bucks draft selections, because hey, he wasn't here last week, and I wanted to get his thoughts on some of his draft grades about some of the Bucks picks, because hey, you know, it's a fun time. I love the draft, and we're going to keep milking this because it's the off season. But without further ado, I wanted to start with the Panthers, the defending champion Panthers, because they had a really interesting draft. I thought that they could have gone a lot of different directions just because their roster is kind of in flux, even though they did win the NFC South last year. Their first round pick was Monroe Freeling, which I thought was really fascinating. The tackle out of Georgia. He actually ended up being my least favorite pick from this Panthers draft, even though I understood where they were coming from. I thought they had a lot of needs defensively that they could have really used. But I also understand that they want to figure out what they have in Bryce Young. They're it's decision-making time. It's kind of put up or shut up type of thing for them with him as their franchise quarterback moving forward. They either have to pay him or kind of let him walk. So we're going to see if they're, if they're just trying to surround him with as much talent as possible in order to really, you know, decide what they have. But regardless, he was my least favorite pick. My favorite pick was Sam Hecht, center out of Kansas State. I just thought this was a great value pick, and he sort of he sort of slots in as their starter potentially immediately, which for a round, I believe he was their fifth round pick. That's really impressive value. So he was one of my favorite centers in this draft class. The fact that he lasted as long as he did was insane. So overall, I gave this an A minus. I thought there were some really other inspired picks, like that Brazil fella out of Tennessee. He is massive and he is really fast, so he has the chance to be really interesting at the wide receiver spot. So yeah, that was my overall thoughts on the Carolina Panthers draft. Musab, did you have what were your thoughts on this Panthers draft class and how it impacted the Bucs?
Yeah, you know, honestly, I thought it was pretty kind of like meh, or somewhat kind of like mature, especially getting Monroe Freeling, and not a flashy kind of pick. Kind of like, you know, you're so focused on eating, you know, the main, you know, main burger, you know, you forgot about, you know, the veggies on the side.
Right,
you know?
And eat your veggies.
So, yeah, you got to eat your veggies. So, look, it's you know, I guess the philosophy, you know, that they were thinking was, you know, protect the quarterback first. Carolina, you know, they absolutely had to do something, you know, to fix that kind of protection and trench play. So, I can understand that. I honestly... that would probably say that was maybe technically my least favorite pick. My favorite pick was Chris, Brazil. I just thought that was kind of a sneaky good pick. Long receiver, vertical ability, red zone upside. So, you know, I feel like Bryce Young, you know, needs that size around him. I mean, he already, you know, has plenty of size already, but it just more and more with it too. So,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they definitely have a type at the wide receiver spot, it seems like, with Xavier Leggett and obviously Tet last season, who had a great rookie year, and now CB2, if you will.
Some things that I was, you know, kind of caught my eye was, you know, there's no kind of a elite pass rusher, or I guess my question to you, Carter, is who would be the star in this class?
Oh, for this Panthers draft class, I mean, my favorite pick was probably Sam Hecht, but I think Lee Hunter is going to be able to step in and make a pretty big impact, the defensive lineman out of Texas.
I'll probably say, yeah, I remember. I think you had him on your list when we were talking about defensive tackles.
Yeah, he's really impressive, and lining anyone up, frankly, next to Derrick Brown is going to, free up some possibilities. Some opportunities to do some real damage, just because, you know, Brown just eats up so much on the interior. It frees up Lee Hunter to do his thing. And I'm really eager to see what he's able to do at the next level. He was really impressive at Texas Tech. I mean, Texas Tech, man, all the Texas schools with the NIL stuff and everything, they're really loading up on talent, really across athletics, but especially football, obviously. And, man, he was a really impressive player coming out of that school. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how him and Derrick Brown kind of play next to each other or on that same defensive line. So that's probably the star, maybe, or the biggest potential star of the draft for me, even though he wasn't like necessarily my favorite pick. He was definitely a pick that I was like, oh, wow, that guy could be really good. But, you know, like I said, it's hard to screw up lining someone up to a guy as good as Derrick Brown. He's kind of their, I guess you could say he's their Vita Vea. That's kind of lazy, but he's definitely a dominant enough force to make that type of comparison. But what about you, Mr. Treek? Was there a guy that was like, oh man, this guy has a chance to be a real star? Was it Brazil for you as well?
No, I was actually going to go Lee Hunter actually on this one. And I meant by that, you know, by kind of star, maybe I guess kind of just like, you know, who's that player expecting, you know, if you're the Panthers or if you're just a football fan, you're expecting, you know, that player to have high expectations regardless of, you know, their round. Obviously, you know, we would be talking about round 1 to 3 probably guys, of course. So I think for them to, I think the Monroe, Freeling kind of pick is just more like, you know, kind of like, you know, we're going to have to, you know, this is going to have to hit to, you know, truly kind of defend that. Otherwise it might look bad, but hey, it happens too. That's just part of football and, you know, part of draft picks.
Right.
Sometimes you're just going to miss.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely wouldn't have minded, honestly, them doubling up on the defensive line, like going edge and then Lee Hunter. I think that would have been a defensible decision, frankly. I did like that they eventually addressed the secondary and then sort of the back end of their defense with Will Lee and Zaki Wheatley and Jackson Kouach. Oh my goodness, I can never pronounce his name, but those are some guys that could maybe potentially be some nice depth as well as potentially provide a little bit of a higher impact immediately, especially obviously with Lee Hunter. But even Will Lee, man, he's kind of an interesting player. So there's some really interesting guys out there for the Panthers that they brought in. Any closing thoughts on the Carolina Panthers draft class, or should we move
no,
on?
No, I think they did a solid job, and I think they did enough. There's not much you have to do to win the NFC South. So it's not right. Like, you know, it's not like, oh man, they had a bad draft, and, you know, consider them not winning the, you know, AFC North or, you know, the NFC, you know, East or something. It's the NFC South. So, you know, just a few little tweaks and that title's yours.
Yeah, no, I feel you. Yeah. And luckily they clearly, like, Dave Canales did a really fun job last year, and the offense kind of started to come together a little bit. I mean, they had a really impressive playoff performance against the Rams last year. So the notion that their offense is adding two potentially impact starters immediately out of this draft class, it is enticing. I definitely get it. Or even three, if you include Brazil and Hecht. So yeah, it's, you know, it's an impressive thing. So I that's why I actually really like this draft class, even if I wasn't necessarily enamored with their first round pick. But regardless, moving on to the Falcons, I thought they had a really interesting draft class, despite the fact that they didn't have their own first round pick. Obviously, that's a tough thing to come back from. The Rams had their pick from the James Pierce trade last year, and unfortunately, that hasn't turned out super well so far. But the Falcons did have a fun little draft. And Musab, were there any picks that stood out to you when you were looking through the players that they selected?
I'd probably say, yeah, just the one that, you know, kind of, you know, really maybe caught my eye, if anything, was just, you know, the Zachariah Branch one. Yeah. It's not really because he's bad. I just because round three kind of felt aggressive for a player, you know, still developing. So, I mean, look, don't get me wrong. He's an electric athlete. You know, he can change the game with his speed and, you know, when he gets space and all that too. But, that's the only one that kind of surprised me. The other ones, it's not like they were like, I know this guy's going to, you know, do really well or, you know, but it's just, you know, that was, I just felt like it was kind of aggressive.
Yeah, no, it definitely not a reach necessarily, but just, it was a little early for me for the wide receiver spot for them. I know that Drake London and Kyle Pitts are there, so they could have used, you know, you can always use a third guy type of thing. It's just tough when you don't have your first round pick. And so I sort of get it. Like, if they had their first round pick and they had spent it on, you know, or a corner or an edge or whatever else, or not an edge, but, you know, a corner or whatever else, then I probably would feel differently. But, you know, when you have a limited draft resource like that, I thought there was some value in some day three picks at the wide receiver spot that they could have had. But Branch is a defensible player. Like you said, super athlete. I mean, probably one of the fastest wide receivers in this draft class. So I definitely really like that from that perspective. But my favorite pick, man, was the Terrell pick. I mean, I know that's kind of the heartwarming story, uniting him with his brother, Avion Terrell, and now AJ Terrell now kind of lining up potentially next to each other, since Avion is more of that, you know, potentially that slot corner guy as well. I don't know. I'm really excited to see how he can do at the next level. I know that Avion is probably lesser is kind of harsh, but he's probably not as highly touted as his brother was coming out of Clemson. But he's certainly a talented prospect in his own right. Very much worth of that second round pick. And I thought it was a really interesting selection. I'll be interested to see where they line him up, like I said, because he's a little bit undersized at 5'10", but that doesn't necessarily mean that he can't line up outside. It just means that, you know, he's going to have a little bit of work to do. So I don't know. We'll see. But I really like the Avion Terrell pick. That was probably my favorite one. I gave this track class overall a B. I don't know how you felt about it, Musa, but I thought it was they did the best with what they could. Because like I said, just missing out on that first round pick, it robs them of the potential of trading back as well. You know, potentially maybe the Rams trade up for Ty Simpson, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they decide, hey, we want to jump up and try to get him. But what were your thoughts as an overall grade for the Falcons or anything from this draft class?
Yeah, I would probably go with B as well. I think Atlanta, you know, they drafted athletes, you know, guys who were explosive or, you know, a little risky, high upside, guys like, you know, Zachariah Branch. And then I'll tell you this, my close to, I would say, I mean, Avion Terrell was, you know, my favorite, of course. I mean, I wanted Avion Terrell, you know what I'm saying?
Right. But yeah, for sure.
My close second favorite pick, I wanted to go with Harold Perkins Jr., linebacker from LSU.
Man, I was going to, yep. Stealing my flow, man. He's an LSU Tiger. I love Harold Perkins. Yeah, no, yeah. I'm really excited to see.
So what they just I mean, yeah, when he was unleashed as a freshman, I mean, this guy looked like a future top 10.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yeah, just absolute dog. So I just think that if Atlanta finds the right role for him, he could be a steal, man.
Yeah, I mean, even there have been some, like, there's this guy I listened to, Sam Bruckhouse, on the Sumer Sports Show, who's talking about how, you know, Harold Perkins isn't really good in coverage, but, like, you could theoretically line him up as a really massive nickel and then have him blitz a lot. And it's kind of tough because then you're kind of giving it away. You're kind of doing away with the whole disguising coverage and whatnot, because, oh, Harold Perkins in the slot. Yeah. Let's, you know, let's call him out, you know? So it's kind of one of those things. But yeah, he just provides such a high upside because of his production early on in his career at LSU that, yeah, I was really excited to see him go to the Atlanta Falcons. And frankly, if he would have been a Buck, that would have been really fun too. I wouldn't have minded that one bit. But yeah, man, a lot of athletic upside for this draft class, for sure. And Perkins listed as linebacker, but he's really like I'd be surprised if he purely lines up just as an off-ball linebacker. Like, sure, they might line him up there every once in a while, but Kendall Daniels, also out of Oklahoma, I thought he provided some real interesting upside as well athletically, because he's 6'5", 242, but he shifted from safety to linebacker. So there's that athletic profile right there. And I'm really excited about that pick for them as well. So yeah, overall a B. There were definitely some picks that you could nitpick here and there. And I think the Zachariah Branch one was kind of the one that stood out for me as kind of the most eyebrow raising, if you will. But yeah, any closing thoughts on the Falcons overall draft class, or are you all good?
No, man. Again, just a few tweaks is all you need.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's just so tough to
Don't get me wrong, man. We did our own tweaking. I'm just saying, you know, we made our own little adjustments as well. So I'm not saying that, you know, oh, you got to worry. Right. Everyone else made changes except us. But
no, of course.
Just saying that it's just, yeah.
Yeah, and it is tough for the Falcons with the whole Penix situation. You just don't know how he's going to come back from yet another major injury. And their backup is Tua, who, you know, comes with his own litany and list of injuries. So when you're that limited at the quarterback position, it can make the rest of the roster decision-making sort of seem futile. It can feel kind of not necessarily hopeless, but just like, you know, you're kind of pushing a boulder up the hill, you know? So it's kind of one of those things where the Falcons could be really, really tough to evaluate with this draft class, just because there's only so much you can do when you have such a limited quarterback room. But we'll see, you know, maybe they surprise us. Maybe they jump up and make a really big splash in the NFC South this year. We'll just have to see. But if you're looking to make a big splash for your wardrobe, if you're looking to do the opposite of the quarterback room for the Atlanta Falcons, definitely head to shop.rblrsports.com. We've got some great gear there for all of your Tampa Bay sports needs. We're going to come in and look at your wardrobe and think, man, you could really use some Ray stuff or some Buck stuff, some Lightning stuff, some Rowdy stuff, some Sun stuff. Definitely head to that site to check it out. We'll give you a promo code too, because it's the Drolls of the offseason and you deserve it. We'll give it to you. Canon, Cannons. Type that in, 10% off your entire order. We'd really appreciate it. All right, moving on. We talked about the Panthers. We talked about the Falcons, and that's it. We're not talking about the rest of the division. No, I'm just kidding. We got to cover the Saints still. They had a very good draft class. Like, the Saints have really done a really nice job over the past few years. Mickey Loomis is really cooking. They're kind of moving away from that whole, we're just going to continue to pretend like we're contenders and continue to fight against the salary cap and all that nonsense. I think this is the first year where they came into the offseason without these major salary cap issues. So it made their drafting a little bit less like, oh, we have to draft starters. Like, we have to draft guys kind of immediately. The emergence of Tyler Shove, obviously really huge for them. Spending a second round pick on a potential franchise quarterback is huge. They've got their two offensive tackles moving forward. They've got that sorted out. So this draft class was really kind of about upgrading this roster, not necessarily just about drafting starters, but really upgrading this roster for upside. So I was really impressed with what they did. Starting out with Jordan Tyson, I mean, that was a really easy one. But my favorite pick of this whole draft was Christian Miller, the interior defensive lineman out of Georgia. They spent a first-round pick on Brian Breece a few years ago out of Clemson, and it hasn't quite worked out. He just hasn't played to his capability. Injuries have played a factor as well. But yeah, Christian Miller, man, he's a really, really impressive player out of UGA. Just a massive human being, 6'3", 321. He's going to plug up some holes in the middle. And defensive tackle was a clear need for them because of, you know, all the reasons that I just mentioned. And so, you know, he's got enough tools and upside athletically to be an impact player on both the run and against the pass. So Christian Miller, definitely my favorite pick. My least favorite pick, though, was the one right after it. And another Georgia Bulldog, Oscar Delp, tight end. And it has less to do with Oscar Delp. It has more to do with the fact that Jujuwon Johnson, and they just picked Tyson. They obviously have Chris Olave. Those are three really amazing pass catchers. Spending a third round pick on another pass catcher, not my favorite thing. They could have really used help across the board defensively, frankly. Another linebacker, Mr. Davis is not there at the linebacker spot, so they could have used another guy there. Cornerback could have been a big need. They could have used another safety. Like, they just had a lot of needs across the board defensively that drafting another pass catcher was just kind of confusing for me. But Oscar Delp, still a really, really talented player. He could be a really nice second tight end, especially as 12 personnel, all the rage. I know that tight end run was really confusing, but that kind of explains it. So anyways, that overall, though, B plus for their draft. I thought it was a really nice draft overall. They drafted Lorenzo Styles later on in the draft, which was really fun. Berrien Brown out of LSU, really elite wide receiver speed wise. We'll see if he's just kind of one of those, he can run really fast so that you can overthrow him or underthrow him, or he can just drop it. But regardless, those are my kind of overarching thoughts on the Saints draft class. Mr. Treek, what were your thoughts? What was your grade for the Saints draft class?
Yeah, I was just going to give him just a solid flat B. As you said, Carter, this felt like more like a solid reload than, you know, any kind of like, oh, you know, we're changing the franchise. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, a lot of that kind of offensive versatility as well. And, you know, kind of just playmakers on both sides. I think Christian Miller has got to be my favorite pick as well. I mean, just an absolute SEC trench monster, physical run defender. But I'll go with Jordan Tyson on this one. I think he deserves some love. I mean, he was an absolute baller at Arizona State. Smooth route runner. So just, you know, 2024 and 2025, I mean, you know, he had absolutely, you know, great seasons. He had over 1,000 yards in 2024. So that's just, yeah, just one guy, you know, to look at, you know, in the, you know, when we go against them later this season. But I think there's some still, yeah, kind of, you know, again, solid role players, or they got, you know, they got the, as I said, offensive versatility with Oscar Delp. You know, again, athletic pass catching tight end, that red zone ability. So, but just interesting to see, you know, them doing that kind of move. But
yeah, that
I'll tell you this though, man, knowing the Buccaneers, I wouldn't be surprised if Bryce Lane or Berrien Brown also having a good game against us, just for whatever reason, man. Bryce Lane, back to back 1,000 plus yard seasons. He's been known to have good, like, size and ball tracking ability, deep ball upside, you know. So, of course, this one's going to be more of a developmental pick. But Berrien Brown, yeah, 6 career return touchdowns. Yeah. So this is kind of like that, you know, your special teams weapon. You know, this is like Jalen Darden walked so Berrien Brown could fly.
Oh man. I don't know if we man, if we're comparing a guy to Jalen Darden, poor fella. It's so tough, man, because the Saints spent 3 draft picks on the wide receiver spot and a 4th on the tight end spot. Like, that's a
lot. Yeah, man. So yeah.
And they traded away one of their picks last year for what was his name? The wide receiver from the Broncos. I think his last name was Velp or something, but
I can't remember.
But it started with a V, but regardless, it was a lot of draft capital to invest in a wide receiver room where Chris Olave really good. And I get that after that it gets real thin, you know, like it's not like they didn't need it, but man, they maybe went a step too far a little bit, in my opinion, with the wide receiver room. That's kind of what knocked the grade down just a touch for me, was that, you know, this defense it could use some oomph, you know, it could use some depth. It could use a lot. But I get, you know, when you have a young, well, Tyler Shove isn't exactly young. He's already, I think, 27, but, when you have an inexperienced NFL quarterback, his second year, you want to make determinations about his future. Kind of getting back to the Bryce Young thing, you want to know what you have. So you don't want the reason that a guy struggles to be because he had a lackluster supporting cast or because Chris Olave gets hurt. So then you had a bunch of nobodies out there running routes. That won't necessarily be the case here for the Saints. They won't have that problem for sure. So, yeah, I thought it was an interesting draft class for them for sure. And I like you said, the Tyson pick, man, I mean, that's a slam dunk. They needed a guy out there with Chris Olave, so I totally understood that. But after that, it was interesting to say the least with some of their selections. But Christian Miller as well, really, really impressive player. So, yeah, that's the Saints picks. And so with that, we're kind of done with the division rivals portion of this episode. But I wanted to finish out, Mr. Tariq, giving you the chance to kind of give us your thoughts a little bit on the Bucks draft. Who was your favorite pick from this past Bucks draft class?
Yeah, man. First of all, yeah, favorite pick's got to be Reuben Bain, dude. It was a blessing in disguise, man. Just, you know, we've talked about it many times. I forget who I've mentioned it to, because I feel like I've said this a million times, which was just how beautiful it was. And I hate to put, you know, Akeem Ezidor down, but, you know, everybody, you know, you're looking around, you're seeing Cassius Howell, Akeem Ezidor on these mocks, Kenyon Sadiq, you're thinking, whoa, we're going tight end. And right. Then draft day comes, man, and Reuben Bain falls to us, man. And I couldn't believe it, man. Violent hands, elite power, just, oh, my God, absolute animal. So, yeah, getting him at 15, man, felt like a robbery, honestly.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. I've been seeing some tape about him at, you know, a camp, some training camp videos and all that, him working, getting in some work. And, dude, he's – oh, my God, dude. He looks absolutely just beastly. So, yeah, man, that's my favorite pick. But I want to obviously give a close second just because how can that not be anyone's favorite pick? It was an absolute home run.
For sure.
But other than that, though, man, I actually liked the Keontae Scott one.
That was my second
favorite pick. But I mean, and then I want to give I could totally forgot about our friend Billy, but it's all good.
Hey, man,
Billy out, man. You got a little bit of injury history, but so yeah.
No, I dig it.
But now we got to go to least favorite picks. I'm gonna go Bauer Sharp on this. I just not because he's bad. I just think there was other picks that had clear impact value, dude.
Sure.
So, and it was slightly least favorite.
Right. Yeah.
I know people might, you know, throw Ted Hurst's name out there, but yeah. Hey, man, I think he's an explosive vertical threat. Dangerous after the catch, big play speed. You know, he can help replace that, you know, future Mike Evans production. I said help, not fully replace, just help. Okay, yeah. He'll be one of them shovels filling that hole.
Right.
All right.
one of the shovels. I like it.
Yeah. So small school explosive traits, I guess. Yeah. This could look good in like 2 or 3 years kind of pick. So 100%. Overall, though, man, I think for
do you have a grade overall? Yeah,
grade. I'm gonna go A- on this, man.
Ooh, A-.
Very, you know, kind of like, you know, I felt like the Buccaneers with this draft, they said, look, we're gonna be getting faster, we're gonna be getting nastier, and especially more violent on defense. So I like it, man. We got the pass rush, the linebacker toughness. I know, you know, Josiah Trotter wasn't, you know, the dreamy linebacker we wanted, but I think he's gonna be that role player. He's not, you know, not flashy. I think just violent and reliable. I remember we were discussing just amazing against the run game as well. So, I know there's always, you know, and I remember when I read about him and all that, I think there was the question, I know everyone knows he sucks at coverage. Well, I guess maybe kind of question to you, and maybe, you know, you tell me how you feel. And I guess maybe is that where Alex Anzalone comes in?
Right.
He'll provide he'll provide that coverage, help.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the thought process behind it, right? Like being able to say, oh, well, Trotter is going to struggle against coverage, but Alex Anzalone is going to be great against coverage. And I think the drafting of Keontae Scott makes it really interesting for potentially running some dime, because then you run Parrish and Scott on the inside, and then you have Morrison and McCollum on the outside for the cornerback spot. And then you just have the lone linebacker, and that lone linebacker can just be Alex Anzalone, you know? So it's not the worst thing in the world. Or maybe you run Trotter out there and have him basically blitz every time, you know, and every once in a while drop back into coverage. It just, I really enjoy the idea of what they can do with how versatile this makes their defense. Because I think that, you know, while Servacier Dennis was actually not that bad against the run, I think Trotter is an immediate upgrade against the run, and a relatively substantial one, frankly. And it relieves the pressure of having to put a square peg in a round hole type of thing, where last year they were kind of doing that with Servacier Dennis and Lavonte David, because frankly, neither of them were really great in coverage. Whereas now they've got a really good coverage linebacker. They've got a really good guy against the run who can also get after it in the pass rush. So the Trotter pick has started to grow on me quite a bit more, even though it was probably my least favorite pick, and I didn't love the fact that that's where they went, because you know, you got to move forward past Alex Anzalone. Like, he's on a 2-year deal probably. Like, he's probably gone after next season. So, you know, but then again, linebackers, you can always address the position again in the draft, right? So if you want to be competitive this year, as well as have a guy that you could potentially see developing into an even better player, I get the Trotter pick a little bit more as I think more on it as I continue to sleep on it. So, yeah, that's a great question, though. The interplay of both of those guys will definitely be something interesting to monitor moving forward. But any closing thoughts on the Bucks overall draft or the division rivals draft or anything else, Mr. Tariq?
Just, I think overall the NFC South, I think everyone did at least a bare minimum solid job. I think B's all around.
Yeah. There wasn't like, I mean,
there was like, wow, man, this team did, you know what I'm saying? So,
did something stupid.
No, yeah. Man, I like what we did. Look, it's never going to be everyone's perfect draft. You know what I'm saying? But I think this could be one of the more underrated classes, you know, in the NFC. We got the aggressive defense, the rotational depth. You know, I know I wanted to give some love to your guy as well, DeMonte Capehart, dude. If DeMonte Capehart can be a solid rotational piece, dude, oof, that's all you want from a guy, you know, like him. So
yeah, and he's such an insane athlete. I really think he could develop into something even more impressive than that, into a bigger role. But even if he's, like you said, even if he's just a rosterable interior defensive lineman, that's a huge win for where he was drafted. But yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like day three guys, they end up out of the league after one season all the time. Like, that happens all the time. Yeah. And that's very within the realm of possibility for him. He's not like he's going to be a surefire starter. But I think the value there is definitely his upside. And of all the players to take that upside chance on, Capehart was one of my favorites. So yeah, we'll see how this Bucks draft ages. Regardless, appreciate y'all for tuning in. Appreciate y'all, my co-host, Mr. Musab Tariq, for making my job incredibly easy, and our wonderful co-host, Mr. Eureka Wheeler, super producer. Hit that like and subscribe button on the way out if you like what you heard, because we're going to be coming at you for throughout the offseason. You know, the offseason may sleep, but we do not, in regards to Bucks news. We'll be coming back next week. But until then, and as always, go Bucks.
Go Bucks.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.